Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of Full of Energy, an AEE podcast, where we discuss workforce development, energy hot topics, and energy policy. I'm your host, Laurie Beth Niggs. In honor of Women's History Month and all the women who have made history, I've invited three incredible AEE and CWIL members to talk about transition. So thank you, Cara, Deb, and Gina, for joining today. Let's open up by giving your elevator speech of who you are and the experience you have in the energy industry. Cara?
Hi, my name is Cara Olmsted, and I am work for RWE, Clean Energy Inc. And I almost had to pause and think about that because I've been in this opportunity 17 days right now. I have spent my career, most of my career, 38 years at Con Edison. Of New York, the clean energy business side, which is the renewable side of the company. So I find myself having had a long, extensive career at Con Edison, clean energy businesses, doing a variety of things on the new business development, marketing, financial planning, strategic initiatives, and now I am at RWE and actually very, very excited about it and looking forward to it.
Laurie Beth, thanks for having me today. I really look forward to spending time with Cara and Gino on this topic that I'm very passionate about. So my name is Deborah Lenny. I've been in the energy industry for over 30 years in a variety of different positions. I started out my career predominantly on the engineering side of the business with PSE&G, worked for companies like Hess Corporation, Direct Energy, Energy Business. Again, I've been in very technical roles as I have an engineering degree from Rutgers, as well as I have a master's in business. And I actually have found myself in the deregulated and regulated energy side of the business. So I was involved in creating very complex energy transactions for some of the largest industrial and commercial customers throughout the United States. I am very passionate about helping women in the energy field. I have been a longtime AEE member as well as a CWIL member. For the last 7 years, I was on the board for CWIL as a chapter liaison committee chair. So I created chapter liaisons for AEE and CWIL. It was a communications role within the local chapters for CWIL. And now I currently hold the co-chair position with Lori Wiegand Jackson for CWIL. I am married to my husband, Lance, for 29 years. We have two kids. Some of the things that I like to do also besides CWIL and work is I participate in triathlons and I love to read. So that's me.
So my name is Gina Annan, and it's a pleasure to be active in AEE and CWIL. It has been a great time that I spent in the Lebanese AE chapter, and now moving here to Ottawa, it's great to also connect with the AE Canada East. So I have a background of 12 years of experience as a mechanical engineer sustainability specialist, and I'm currently the sustainability discipline team lead for Stantec here in Ottawa. My role is really facilitating the carbon neutral studies, sustainable design and certification that includes sustainability and health and well-being, inclusive of all types of certifications as well for the clients. And we've been doing great work here in Ottawa and contributing to projects that are worldwide. I'm also an ASHRAE chair for the Building Decarbonization Whole Life Design Guide, which is to be published this year, hopefully. And previously, I've participated for the first chapter on climate change in the ASHRAE Fundamentals. I was lucky enough to be chosen by AEE as the Young Energy Professional of the Year for 2022. And I just got an email that I have been nominated to be the ASHRAE Distinguished Lecturer for this year, which is a great opportunity where I can contribute the key takeaways of all the projects that we're currently working on worldwide. Besides that, I'm a mother of two, Ryan and Talia, and married to a great husband who's a professor and currently shifting more to the sustainability field, seeing my passion to that. So great to be here and be with all these experts on the panel and with you, Laurie. Thank you for having me.
Wow, you guys have such incredible resumes and your passion really shines through. But what we're here to talk about today is transition. And this is such a broad topic when it comes to both the energy industry and workforce development, because as we all know, there's a lot of transition happening with our industry, where we are seeing more government funding and company goals for creating a clean and sustainable future, and companies and countries alike looking towards electrification and decarbonization, which Gina also did an episode on with transitioning to decarbonization. So since we've talked about that, let's kind of shift more towards workforce development and think about the great resignation that happened during the pandemic and also the increase of people transitioning careers. You all have incredible stories to tell, and that's what I wanted to highlight today. While we probably could create an entire season around transition itself, I really want to focus on three areas, which are company acquisitions, transitioning jobs, and even when your job takes you to another country. Let's start with Kara. You stayed with your company for 37 years, and your story is a little bit different because of that, but your company just sold, so you're going through a current transition. What, if anything, would you do differently, or do you have any advice for people who are thinking about making a jump?
Yes, I did spend many of my years of my career at Con Edison, clean energy businesses and the regulated company. But within that organization, which is huge, there are more many opportunities. And I shifted jobs, and I think most people look to move to something new or learn something new with every 3 years, approximately, right? I think the other thing is that that's a good thing. You as an individual need to be to take on new things, to learn new things, to push yourself out to learn new things. I think the thing that you don't want to be in a position that you're not, where you're not looking or you're not learning new things. That's the time you need to turn around and move. And I guess throughout my career, I felt that I was always had the opportunity to learn new things. And that's what I've loved about it. I often say, and maybe this isn't good, but I could get my sticky fingers into a lot of different things. I did business development. I've done financial analysis. I've learned about electricity, natural gas, steam, clean energy, in all various aspects of it. And I've loved it. And I've also worked with wonderful people. And I know we'll talk about this in a little bit, but that's a big part of work is the people that you work with. Are they supportive of you? And do they help you foster that desire to be successful, to learn, to move ahead? And the company always did. And that's why I stayed, because I enjoyed it. And I've consistently learned new things, new opportunities, advanced. I think the one thing you said, is there anything I would have done differently? I think for women today, ask for what you want, know yourself and ask. I think I was less of that sort of person to ask, but I had opportunities come my way and I certainly never said no. We're looking to start this new line of business. When we started the ESCO, are you interested? Absolutely, I'm interested. You know, and there it took me. Or if the opportunity, and this is, you'll find yourself in a lot of situations where nobody wants to take responsibility or to lead, jump right in there. Step up, even I would say, it's not that you don't know the subject, but you need to be inquisitive so that you can then manage. And so that never worried me in terms of saying, yes, I'll take ownership on leading the group to achieve the end or the goal that you're looking for. And so between those two things, I've had a lot of opportunity and I've enjoyed it.
You know, a lot of people fight imposter syndrome. And so when you talk about just jumping in, I like to say, do the things that scare us the most, right? Because you won't have an opportunity to do it again. And sometimes when you step into those blessings, if you will, like, you never know what the outcome is going to be. So that's really great advice. So Deb, moving to you, I know you've been through a few company acquisitions. What advice do you have for anyone going through a company acquisition or a position change for the first time?
Yeah, thanks, Lori Beth. It's such a great question. I've been on both sides of that coin. So I've been at a company, you know, I was at Hess Corporation where we were acquiring companies, but then I've also been on the flip side of that where I was the company or the entity being acquired. And, you know, I, first of all, want to let people know if you need any advice, please reach out to me on LinkedIn further. But I do feel like I have a lot of experience relative to this topic. I'd say first and foremost, when you're going through that type of transition, you need to think about it as a job change, because there will be a lot of change across the organization. What I mean by that is teams will change, leadership will change. So you need to put yourself in a position of, okay, this is a new opportunity for me. How do I make myself more aware to those new folks around me? So first of all, you know, get to know your teammates, get to know new people. If you have to, if you go into a meeting, here's one little tip. You go into a meeting and you're in a meeting with folks you do not know, write their names down, send them an email, spend 15 minutes on a chat with them, getting to know them. Because remember, your culture is going to change. Second thing that I would say is be visible. You know, speak up, ask your manager, your direct supervisor, put me on an integration task force. You know, I want to be a part of the team. That'll get yourself familiar with the new culture and where the organization is going. Also, just keep in mind that there will be a culture shift, right? Because you're merging two organizations together. So don't go down a rabbit hole of your old culture and do this us versus them mentality. Have an open mind when you go into it, because the organization is going to change and you want to find your place. Finally, the probably one of the most important tips that I want to let folks know about is don't jump too soon. Right? You know, sit and look and listen and learn the new organization that you're in. Because 9 times out of 10, what happens, some people leave too quickly, but what that creates is career opportunities. You might get an opportunity because someone left. So kind of take a step back and evaluate the new organization, evaluate the new culture, and see where you fit into that. And just remember, you have to be flexible and you have to go with the change, because the change could be as minimal as, you know, you have a new position or you have a whole new team or all of your benefits are going to change. You just really need to be very flexible with that and just know that the change is coming and how you handle that is really, really important.
Great points, Deb. I think being flexible is something really important to point out from your discussion, because a lot of times, especially millennials, I'll be the first to say, you know, things get a little tough, we get stepping out the door. So I think being flexible is a great point to make. So Gina, talk about transition, because you didn't just transition jobs or transition industries, you transitioned halfway around the world for your job. So what does it take to make a big jump like that? And what advice would you give others looking to make a big change similar to yours?
Yeah, so I'll start with the advice and maybe then I'll reflect more about my personal career. So when it comes to the advice, both Lenny and Kara gave amazing advice that I think I want to reiterate on and maybe add about the passion, because really when you find your passion in life, the work really becomes less of a core and more of a joy. I would really advise everyone to try new things, to build connection, as both Lenny and Kara said. And maybe when it comes to the work, maybe you want to find good project manager and shadow them, like a deputy PM or so, because eventually those people become the VPs of organizations. You need to really surround yourself with successful people to learn from them. And also, I want to reflect back on my life, because I always said I can do it faster, I can do it better myself. And I used to do it all, but you know, as Lenny said, we really need to allow others to take the opportunity. And that's a success of a whole team. It's a success of a whole organization. And we really want to catch people do the right thing. And this is what I saw in both companies that I worked for, the previous company that I worked for 12 years. I felt the success that all six teams that I worked with, their success was my own success. And similarly now, moving to Stantec, and I'll tell you more why I joined Stantec and why I chose Ottawa for a fact. So basically, Canada has been, my family from my dad's side has moved to Canada like long back then and like two decades ago. And they always email me every time they hear the news in Lebanon that you should come here. I mean, your expertise, you would fit right in this country. And I never took it seriously because I always had hope that things would be much better in the country that I'm in. But unfortunately, things got worse and worse. And being a mom, I really wanted the best for my own children and the best for my husband as well, because he's an achiever as well. So I really was searching for a culture. I was searching for the right career path, but also for the right country where I can really focus on how I can make better in the world and not focus on, you know, securing electricity at home, making sure my kids come safe back from school or any other things, right? So when Stantec offered me, I really read a lot about Stantec, and I noticed, and personally, I do believe in organizations that combine creativity, innovation, and expertise really to deliver solutions. If you go and see the cutting edge solutions in many projects integrated worldwide done by Stantec, that's amazing. And I really wanted to be part of that. I really believe that we can really create sustainable cities and adopt a human-centered approach to many of the projects that we work on. And this is what Stantec really did. So it aligned with my vision. And that's when I joined Stantec, which was May last year. So first I moved to Stantec in Dubai. I spent a couple of months there, and then I moved here to Ottawa last November. I'm still adapting, but honestly, the community is wonderful. The team that I work with are really amazing. It's nice to see mentality and a culture that people are willing to say, I don't know, but just give me the time to learn and I'm ready to learn. This is something nice. This is healthy because it's not wrong not to know, but it's really good to push forward. I mean, and challenge, you know, all everything that comes up, all the hurdles, whether it's a project, whether it's a client meeting, whether it's a presentation, whether it's a specific scope that we want to exceed and go beyond integrating all the innovative aspects of things. So to me, it's good to work along with like-minded peers and accomplish a lot and design for a better, healthy, and sustainable future.
You know, I always like to say passion is energy. And yeah. I think it's so important. We work in the energy field. So that is so many of you guys are so passionate about a clean and sustainable future, which is also AEE's mission. And that passion drives ambition, and then ambition clarifies vision, right? So it's really great that you have that drive to move to a different country. And I think a lot of our members will resonate with that. So thank you guys for sharing more of your personal stories. Let's talk a little bit about networking though. What are some of the best ways that you can prepare for a career transition, including upskilling and networking?
You know, I would say that this is not, networking is not my strength. To my detriment, I'm a worker bee. I've enjoyed the work, I've enjoyed the people that I have worked with. But I would say the thing that I wish and I will do more of is reaching out. And Deb made the point of when you come into a new organization to reach out to people that are, now that you're coming together with this a whole new team of people, and I find myself in that situation. And that's exactly what you do. You reach out to people and you embrace them. And I think just that the whole, it can be very, create anxiety from coming into a new environment. But I look at it that we're all people. We're all human. We all have a basic sense of values. And that I go into the meeting thinking that's who I am and that's who the people I'm meeting are. And it puts it on a playing field where I'm not nervous or and then I can embrace the new people that I'm meeting. And I'm blessed now that Con Edison is a New York company, but RWE is an international company, which is even more exciting. And so I have the opportunity now to meet people who are all around the world. And the corporate headquarters are in Essen, Germany. And I had a call yesterday and it was 10:30 my time. And it was 3:30 in the afternoon in Germany. And I said, good morning. And they said, it's afternoon. And they said, we normally just say good day. And I'm like, oh, that makes perfectly good sense. So, I don't have the best answer on networking. I am my genuine self. I don't know who else to be. And so, like I said, when the opportunities come, I'm grateful, I'm gracious, and I pursue, and I do the best that I can.
Lori Beth, this is such a great question. I find that some of the differences between men and women on this topic are very interesting. When you think about networking, most folks will think about networking within their internal companies that they currently work for, and they do a really good job of networking there. But what they forget to do is network external to their company that they currently work for. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the field that you're in. You know, one of the things that I learned the most, and I think it was Gina that talked about your passion, like, what are you passionate about? And I mentioned earlier, you know, career advancement of women in energy. You know, when I started in the industry, for me, it was looked very different. And my passion is to make sure that I could create this world a better place for women than when I started in and entered the energy industry. And the reason why I'm going there relative to networking is because when I was at Hess Corporation, I started mentoring within the org and then realized, wow, look at all this I'm getting out of mentoring folks within the company that I work for. And I said, I want to do this external to my company. And it's the old phrase, you know, you get what you give. And I found C-Wheel as a division of AEE and said, you know, how do I become an active member and give some of my time to this organization and women in energy? And it's been one of the most rewarding volunteer positions I've ever had in my career, just because of the network of women within C-Wheel created so many different opportunities for me and the folks around me. So, you know, two comments on this: internal networking, external networking, and networking, you know, not just about what career you're in, but what's your passion and how can you give back? And I just have found between AEE and C-Wheel and the opportunity to volunteer within these organizations has leveled up my game, you know, relative to my career, because of everyone that I've had the opportunity to network with. And that's the last thing that I will say about networking. Really spend the time to get to know people, not just about what they do, but who they are. You know, what are they made of? What's their family? Where do they come from? Because when you connect with people at a personal level like that, you remember each other. Right? You might not remember everything, but you remember the story they told you about their dog. So networking, just, you know, really get to know the people. But and remember, networking could also mean volunteering about what you're passionate about. And again, I'll give the commercial for C-Wheel, because it's just a fantastic group of women in the energy industry that I've ever come across. So if you want to help us within C-Wheels, please reach out to us on LinkedIn.
Yeah, well, I think that both Lenny and Kara, I mean, they covered all the points that I for one, I couldn't put together as clearly as such. But I mean, I would add, before jumping into networking, it's really wise to set career goals, right? I would want to understand what I want to do in my own life. Like, what are my targets? What are my goals? And how would they align with each and everyone that I really want to meet and make use of their expertise and maybe exchange expertise, right? And am I doing a good job by developing my own skills and understanding the latest trends, you know, out there? Because at the end of the day, I really want to be in a room where I could listen, benefit from those experts, but I also want to give back. Right. So to be always to understand or maybe staying up to date with the industry trends, whether it's sustainability, decarbonization or any other aspect of your expertise, it's really good and wise to know where you stand and where the industry and market stand, and then connect with people and know where this network and connection could lead to. Right. So I just met the mother of my son's friend, right? I was picking my son from school last week, and we just had a quick chat, and I noticed that she works in climate change for the government here, and she was super interested in talking more, and we just went out and had a coffee, and it all was, you know, focus on how climate change should really align with Canada's net zero emissions and commitments and so on and so forth. And we really wanted to bring this conversation further and communicate more and on over more coffee. So I wasn't really waiting for this. I wasn't expecting this, but it happened. So networking could happen in occasions where you never expected, or it could happen within AEE, C-Wheel, ASHRAE, or many like ample events that are occurring like even more and more over the course of the year, especially with what's happening in the world. So I really think it's good to seize the moment and be up to date. And when there is a will, there is a way. So we shouldn't say it's enough. I mean, after 12 years of experience, the team is doing amazing on the analysis side of things. But I like to go and dig more. I stopped doing the analysis myself, but I'm interested to know how this is done. What are the new edits that were done to this specific tool that I used 10 years ago? How did they upgrade it? What is new? Like, I really want to sit in meetings where I can contribute and answer, right? And be able to fill my position as a team lead and advise the team accordingly. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's my take on this. And thanks, Cara and Lenny, for putting in such a great expertise advice.
I do think you guys all pointed out something really important, and that networking is about honing in on your passion or talking to people about their knowledge. And it's not necessarily like, what can this person do for me? And I think a lot of times people will meet, like target certain people to say, I need to go to them, I need to find a job, so let me ask them for a job. When networking is more about meeting people and aligning your goals. And then if something comes out of it further, you're building a network. You're not while you are looking for a job, it is also about knowledge share. So I think that's really great. Let's switch gears again and discuss company culture and how it can make or break if you stay with a company or not. So Gina, let's start with you. What advice do you have for someone who doesn't feel like they fit in with the company, either when they move to a new company or if their company is acquired, like Deb had mentioned earlier?
I really think that the process of hiring and the interviews is really important, right? So I was at a career fair yesterday representing my company at the Carleton University over here, right? So many students came up, and most of them actually told me, tell us what Stantec does. I mean, I said to myself, I would never do that. If I was a student and I was at a career job fair, I would just use my phone and just Google, what is Stantec? I would ask myself, what does this company offer? And do I align with that, right? And then I go and sell myself with my expertise. I could have my CV on a barcode. I can share my barcode or ask about how I can submit that, right? So going back to whether I would let myself join a company and not really know much about it, that's a big mistake, because again, it's a work balance, life work balance. This is something, being a mom, I have to understand that when I wake up every single day, I want to be excited to know what are new projects that I'm going to work on, what is the status of the current projects that I'm currently working on, and what we can do better to serve the community that I'm in and the company that I'm part of. Now, if you go online and you research Santec, you would notice four things on the header of the website. The first is we put people first, and this is basically the heart of sustainability. We do what is right. It's not always the right thing, but doing the right thing is what matters. And we are better together. I'm not a superhero. I'm nothing without the team that I have and with all the BC business centers that I work with. We're together successful, so we are better together. And lastly, you would see that we are driven to achieve. Having goals and targets, whether it's you put them in January, you wanna have them done before December, or doing them on a weekly basis, daily basis. I mean, the ultimate goal is to achieve. Experience lots of hurdles. I'm not saying that we should achieve or the ultimate goal. It's not a life that is full of rainbows, but it's good to be to have the thought that you're able to achieve and you do what is right and all that you can so that you can achieve. So I think when you see this clarity and thoughts in front of you and understand that does this, when you see those mottos, does this align with what you want? So this did with me, and that's when I really decided to join Santec, and it really reflected on the company culture, right? So you can see that on the website, but sometimes when you join the company, you don't experience that, and that's a different situation. But I really think that it's good to do the research from your end, maybe communicate with multiple people within the company before you join that. You could ask for a quick, discussions with not necessarily the people who are hiring you, but maybe employees from different departments, different disciplines, and it could definitely serve as a way to take on the new role that you are aiming to. I hope this answers your question.
Yeah, thanks, Lori Beth. And Gina, that was just a phenomenal answer. My experience with culture, it could be very different within an organization depending on leadership. So I agree with you, Gina. We absolutely have to do our research first in terms of the company that you work for. But my experience has been, even while I was within a company for a number of years, that culture changed along the way because of the leadership. And it's okay to say that I don't fit here anymore. But my only advice would be, before you do that, have a conversation with your manager. Look within the organization. Do that same research that Gina was talking about within the current org that you work for, because maybe a different role within a different subset of the company would be a different culture for you and would be a better fit. So that would be number one. Make sure you do your research within the company that you're in. And then secondarily, it's okay then to begin a search outside of your company if the culture, if you've identified that this culture does not fit for me. And then that ties really back into everything that we were already talking about, Lori Beth, in terms of what are your passions and your network that you created to try to figure out what your next step would be. But again, I think for the folks out there, just remember that culture is something that is going to evolve over time within an organization, and you have to constantly evaluate that. And that really could be dependent on what your role is, who you report to within the organization.
Culture, that is an interesting concept. And as I mentioned before, my new organization is an international, and that offers so many opportunities to learn about so many different cultures in the entire world. And, it's honestly, it's one of the things I have loved about being a New Yorker. I've lived in Manhattan and close to Manhattan for my whole life, and the city. And that was what excited me, was that we were all so very, everyone was different. And all that difference made things interesting. And that it's that part of difference that makes things, that's exciting to me. And that's very motivating. So I'm looking forward to that aspect of the culture. But also, I think that the things that are important to me in terms of culture are an organization and leadership that's supportive of me as a person and of my needs to grow and to learn new things and to advance within the organization and to be heard and to make a difference. That's what I want to do. I want to do good work. I want to be successful for the company. And I want to understand, you know, how to be successful and understand the goals and the desires of the company. So in terms of culture, I see that as being kind of transparent so that you're aware and that you're of what the goals of the ultimate goals of the organization are, so that you then know how to manage your day, your career, what you're doing, how you can or I can then perform well. I mean, that's ultimately what you want to do. You want to do well at your job. You want to learn new things. You want to learn more about you. I think I've been in the industry and for all of these years, I must know myself. I must know everything about myself. Well, that's not true. You're learning and you're growing every single day. And I would say, you know, I know I'm not 25 anymore. I'm not 30 either, and we can keep going by 10 for a long time. But I still feel very much the same, and I still have the desire to explore new things, learn new things, find out more about myself, and that, you know, having that opportunity, that's just, you know, kind of what sets me on fire. And, you know, and it doesn't have to be exciting work necessarily, because we all know what non-exciting work is. But I just, for some reason, find joy in it, that what I'm capable of doing. And so that's kind of what I look for in the culture, is to walk away knowing that. And I think Gina said it well, you know, you want to wake up in the morning and say, you know, yeah, I'm excited about what, you know, my day is going to be about, and it's going to be a good day.
Well, our time is coming very close to an end. I usually like to end the podcast with a rapid fire round to share more about yourselves, but you shared so much about yourselves in this podcast, and I'm really grateful for that. But today, I think it's important to leave our listeners with some words of wisdom. So, rapid fire, still, why don't you tell us, how do you get unstuck when you're feeling stagnant? And we'll start with you, Kara.
Always look for not new opportunities. It's not like I'm just driving the bus to find something new. It's like, what about this? Or, you know, you talk to people, what are the needs of the organization? Aren't we seeing? What should we be seeing? You know, that it's you have to bring yourself to the table, right? A lot of this that we're talking about is bringing you forward, right? I don't look for my company to shower me with lots of stuff. So I'm going to bring me, all of me, good or bad, but all of me to the table and see, you know, what we can explore. What can we create that's good? And so I know there's stuck, and I guess I just, I have felt that, you know, I just kept moving to learn new things, and, you know, whether I was in the same position, if you just have to look around your company and say, there's obviously things that you could do, that there are things that are need to be done to achieve the ultimate goal. Everything is never getting done, right? So find out or look at what you have to offer and how you see the world, how you see your experience, how you see the company, what can you bring to the table? And, you know, I guess in parting, because I think this is, you know, the kind of the transition is really hard. I feel like, you know, it's like getting your sea legs. The floor is always moving and you're trying to like stay balanced. So like Deb said, don't jump ship too fast, and recognize that everybody's got the same, you know, it's unbalanced for everybody, all of management, right up the ladder. Everybody's got a new experience. So you are not alone. And I would also say, just stay true to yourself. Know what you're good at, believe in yourself, and things will come together. So it's a strong kind of, you know, sense of who you are that you bring, and don't let go of that.
How do you get unstuck? For me, one of the ways that I've always handled this over the years is like putting a new goal or a target out for yourself. And it doesn't necessarily have to be work related. So I think about it this way. Like when you plan a vacation, that vacation date's out there, and then you're planning for it. You're looking forward to it. That gives you that sense of being energized. You know, and then yeah, ultimately get to the vacation, how much better you feel when you get back from vacation. It's the same thing relative to your career. Find something, put a goal out there for yourself, six months, 1 year, 2 years, and then work towards that. And when you achieve, or even if you don't achieve, it'll give you the ability to evaluate and reassess, and you get energized through that process. So that would be my suggestion when you get stuck. I mean, hands down, when you go on that vacation, you come back, you feel so much better. I know for me, a few years back, I got into triathlons and I set that goal for myself. I put it out there 6 months, 8 months ahead, and I worked towards it. And at the end of that race, you know what I was thinking about immediately was, when's my next race? Right. I just say, have a goal for yourself, personal or career, and work towards it, and you will automatically get yourself unstuck.
Yeah. I mean, to reiterate what both Kara and Deb said, it's really good to understand what's the cause of feeling stuck. Right. So it could be, lack of opportunities. For example, I sit with a team on a monthly basis, like one-to-one meeting with each and everyone. It could be a conversation about a conference that they saw that aligns with their interests and the opportunity of them attending. And that is something, a motivation that could be for them, that could really push them to, you know, work in more enthusiastic manner, right? Other than that, it's really, as just Deb mentioned, setting the career goals. And that's really important, because I should always ask myself, no matter how much experience you develop, it's good to have career goals, because there are always new goals that you can, put and target. Besides the networking, which I think we really dwelled on in this podcast, it's really important to learn new skills, to seek out mentors. Sitting with mentors is really something that could provide anyone with guidance and support, especially when navigating such type of problems. And it's not wrong to keep exploring new opportunities. And it's really understanding what opportunities are out there would really set your mind. If are you missing on anything? Is it what you are doing is something that is enough for you? Because it's really wrong to have in mind that there's something better than you are doing when that really doesn't exist, or vice versa. So it's really good to understand why you are stuck in your career and what are the real causes and to address them. Having a vacation could definitely be just sounding out a vacation, it feels really good, because it really wants you to plan a vacation so that you can sit, have time, breathe, and reset. And that's something that we all forget to do, and we should do more often so that we get this clarity about things and help us move forward.
Thank you all for such great advice and for sharing your time with us today. This has been AEE's podcast, Full of Energy. We'll see you next month.